Halfway Warehouse or if I'm doing court.
It's true.
This is a constant barrage.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, I mean, you couldn't call Greg James an unsung hero because he is a hero, but my goodness, is he sung. But every week we speak to an unsung hero on this show, and this week's no different, so let's head into it right now.
Who invented the skip? Braver than 10 firemen or a dozen policemen? Who invented the skip?
Now then, folks, anyone who has spent the last 16 months agonising over what level of trim to get on a Kia Sportage will be aware that the key difference between levels 1 and 2 is on level 2, you get parking sensors front and rear. And we are delighted to speak to the man responsible for that luxury, for that, I would say, life-changing invention.
World-changing.
Because often, especially on larger SUVs, you can't actually see the front of your own car.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Tony Hayes. Hello, Tony.
Hello there. Hi.
Now, Tony, though it's pretty much standard these days to have parking sensors on new cars, when you came up with the idea in the 70s, it was like something out of a futuristic sci-fi program. Can you tell us how you came up with it and why it wasn't immediately adopted?
Well, it's a fairly long story. I mean, I did a physics PhD in Cambridge, but in the process of which I went blind. And I had 8 operations before I could see again. And that gave me a desire to do things to help blind people. And I moved into a psychology department, of all things, at Nottingham University, the Blind Mobility Research Unit, and worked on a series of electronic devices for the blind. And then one day, I could see again. I'd had an operation. I got one eye and it was working. And I hooked this thing I'd invented on the back of my car. And I thought, wow, you know, this has got potential. And then I further developed it. I called it Reverse Aid. But it is a spin-off, a direct spin-off of an aid for the blind that I was working on.
So did you have one fitted to your own car that you'd invented yourself before it was commercially available?
Oh, of course. And it was the prototype. And I do remember the time when I took it along to Jaguar in Coventry. All I was looking for was a royalty. I wasn't going to make the damn thing. And they were very hospitable. They drove my car up and down and backwards and forwards. And then they took me into the boardroom and they sat me down and very politely they said, well, Dr. Hayes, you know, you like it because you're a one-eyed driver and you can't judge distances. Real people wouldn't want a thing like this. And I thought, you know, up yours, I thought. Anyway, that was 1982, I think it was.
But you weren't the only one-eyed driver in Britain or in the world. There was clearly commercial potential to this. Why do you think they didn't take you up on the idea?
Most people, I mean, not them, but many people mixed it up with the sounds that a truck makes when it's reversing. The warning sound, you know, the bleeping sound that a truck makes. Everybody thought I'd invented that, and it's not at all that. It's, you know, obviously it's for the driver's use. But it didn't really take off until about the year 2000, by which time, of course, the patent had expired. So I'm not a multimillionaire.
It's so often the way. We spoke to the man who invented Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Who also is not a multimillionaire. And the chap who invented chip and pin.
Yeah.
Not a multimillionaire. It's not fair, no. Tony.
It's actually made what was meant to be quite a light-hearted feature into quite a depressing one. Because we're always talking to geniuses who haven't made money out of their inventions.
So how did you find out that it was being introduced on cars after the patent had expired?
I mean, suddenly I saw cars with it on. I mean, I always had the prototype on my car, you know, even to the days when you could actually buy them. I still had the prototype. But then, of course, about the year 2000, it began to appear on cars as an added extra. But when we got a car, I mean, they stopped me driving when I was 60. So for the last 20 years, I've been back on the bicycle because I, you know, my vision isn't very good these days. I'm legally blind. But my wife has a car, but we've got both the ultrasonic reversing device. We've also got the camera as well. And we find both to be very useful.
Are there other sort of aids for those who are partially sighted or perhaps even deaf that you think would be very useful to people who do have full use of their sight or hearing. So I remember at university, one of the girls in my year was profoundly deaf, and she had, instead of a doorbell, because you couldn't knock on her door, she had a light that flashed when someone pressed a button. And it strikes me that any new parents who have kids that are going to bed at seven, if they could have a button that you pressed that didn't sound the doorbell, they would absolutely love that in the evenings, because that's the one thing. It's like, don't knock on the door, don't wake up the kid.
You're absolutely right. And of course, the market for disabled people is really quite small. If you can invent something for disabled people, which also is useful by the non-disabled, then you stand a chance of getting to a bigger market and selling the thing. The Royal National Institute for the Blind, in my day when I lived in England, way back, had a device that you put in the garden and it detected the rain. It was wired and you had a wire going into the house and it rang a bell if it started to rain, so the blind housewife could rush out and bring her washing in. It was known as the rainmaker.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Tony Hayes, who invented the parking sensor.
Who invented the skip? Brave out van, 10 firemen or dozen policemen. Who invented the skip?
Thank you very much to Tony Hayes there, our unsung hero for this week. If you have an unsung hero you'd like to suggest to us, you can submit it by sending an email to ellisandjohn@bbc.co.uk. But now, with the time at 1:42 p.m., I think it's time we play a made-up game.